And we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelavis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. We are in the middle of the fourth chapter, the fourth Mishnah, the second part of that fourth Mishnah, and that is the concept of Chilul Hashem. We started last week. If you were not here, I will fill you in with, or even if you were here, I'll fill you in with the important parts that we did last week that'll be important for this week. So let's start reading. The Mishnah says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, source number one, Omer. Kol machalos shem shamayim b'seiser, nifra mimenu b'galui. Anybody who desecrates Hashem's name in private, he will be punished in public, in out in the open. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid b'chilul Hashem. Whether it is done unintentionally or intentionally, the same applies when it comes to chilul Hashem. So we addressed last week, starting point, big question was, what does that mean to be mechalal shem shamayim in private? Usually we assume that chilul Hashem, desecrating Hashem's name, is a public act. So what does that mean, you're desecrating Hashem's name in private? So that was one question that we asked. The second question that we asked is, what does it mean that it is the same whether or not you do it intentionally or unintentionally when it comes to chilul Hashem? This is what we're going to be addressing today. What we saw last week was source number two. This is the brief recap. Two, three, and four are the recaps. Rashi explains that Chil Hashem has to do with other people learning from you, that other people will see what you do, and if you are a respectable person based on the Gemara, the Gemara said you're a Talmud Chacham, people look up to you, and still you do something bad, they're going to look at you, they're going to learn from you, or they're going to say, look, this guy thinks, he's a representative of Hashem, that must be what Torah is all about, and therefore I don't want anything to do with it. So basically the person is being looked up to and desecrates Hashem's name in the sense that we don't respect him, even though he represents God, so we don't like, we sort of push God away as well based on his actions. So that's Rashi in number two, which is what we expect Chil Hashem to mean to some extent, but it doesn't help us with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says in private. So who's seeing you? Nobody's watching you. So nobody's learning from you. So what does that mean, Chil Hashem in private? So then we saw source number three was the Tiferes Yisrael, who said there's really two different types of Chil Hashem. There's our classic Chil Hashem that we've spoke about until this point, which is Chil Hashem of people learning from you in public. But then there's another type of Chil Hashem. What's that other type of Chil Hashem? Anybody remember? When it's even in private, it's if I do it, lahachas, not mezid. Not mezid, lahachas. Right? Mezid means done intentionally. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you do it to spite God. That I don't care about you, God. I do this even if that's in private, that's still considered the Chil Hashem. So nobody sees me, but my intention of doing it lahachas, with the word ka'as, to make God angry, is definitionally considered the Chil Hashem. So that opens up an understanding of our Mishnah. If our Mishnah means Chil Hashem in private, possibly what we're talking about here is that you're doing it lahachas. Very nice. So our Mishnah, therefore, is talking about lahachas. Then we ended off with the following question. If the Mishnah is talking about lahachas, doing something intentionally to make God angry, then how do you understand the second half of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. Whether or not you do it intentionally or unintentionally. So this gets to what you were referring to, Rachel. So what does that mean to do something unintentionally lahachas? Right? I'm doing it to anger God, but I wasn't paying attention. I didn't mean to do it. So then definitionally it seems that you're not doing it to anger God. You can't do something to anger somebody
and not mean it
and not know what you're doing and not having that awareness. It seems that the awareness is necessary. So we basically now come back to square one. We still don't fully understand our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah talking about? Is it talking about lahachas? If it's talking about lahachas, you're doing it to anger God, then we don't fully understand the second half of the Mishnah, which says that you're doing it either intentionally or unintentionally. If it's not talking about lahachas, then what does it mean you're doing it in private? Don't people have to watch you in order for it to be considered Chil Hashem? So what we need to find is another type of Chil Hashem that can be done in private, or we have to understand what lahachis means without knowing what I'm doing. Right? So those are our two things that we're going to have to explore today. Chil Hashem in private, another type of Chil Hashem in private, or a way to understand lahachis, angering God, even if I do it bit shogeg, unintentionally. So let's look at source number five. The source number five is the Tosfos Yom Tov, and he's going to give us five explanations, five possibilities to what we're talking about here in the Mishnah. He says as follows: Kol hamechalal shem shamayim b'seiser. You are desecrating Hashem's name in private. V'im tomar, and if you'll ask, very perish harav b'mishnah ches perik basra deyuma dechil Hashem hu choteu machti. Isn't it true that we understand that Chil Hashem is somebody who sins and makes other people sin? But how can you make other people sin here if it's done in private? That's our question. The Chasafti Sham, the Hainu Achote, the Acherim, the Meidim Imenu, they're learning from him, the Kachasav HaRab, the Mishnah Test, Perak Hey, the Kama, Lo Mishkachas LaBaseser. We don't have an example of making somebody learn from your actions if you're doing it in private. So here's answer number one, first bullet point. The Yesh Lomar, Kimoshikasav Derech Chaim, so the Maharal explains, it doesn't really mean b'seiser. So we are reinterpreting what in private means. Until this point, we have thought that in private means that nobody's around, that nobody's looking, that nobody's watching. Maybe that's not what b'seiser means. What else can b'seiser mean? Rak she'ein harbe yodim mizeh. It's not well known. There are two people there, there are three people there, maybe your family saw it, maybe your friends saw it, but it wasn't in the newspapers, it wasn't something where we think Chil Hashem, we think like, wow, front page of the newspaper. So no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about b'seiser. What is b'seiser? Not between you and nobody, but between you and your closest colleagues. That's what b'seiser means. So we're reinterpreting b'seiser as not meaning in between you and God alone, it's in between you and others, but it's a small amount of people. And now we can understand the Mishnah. So that's understandable, because they're learning from you, even though it's not again, front page, newsworthy, but there's still people looking at you and judging you and then judging God based on your actions. So if that's the case, then our Mishnah is pretty straightforward. Chil Hashem, whether it's in front of three people or in front of 100 people, still going to be a big problem. Okay? Now, that's bullet point number one. Bullet point number two. Od perish, another possibility. The problem, what's the problem with that perish? What's the problem with that explanation?
It's not
b'seiser. That's not b'seiser, right? You're reinterpreting, b'seiser means in private. And now you're reinterpreting it means a little bit in private. And so it's a problem. It doesn't fully, even though it answers our question, it's not exactly what the language fully means. Bullet point two. Od perish. Kegon, asar tamidei chachamim biyachas, a strange scenario. You have 10 role models together. Ve'echad ganav onichnas lebeis hazona ve'en yodei amihu. So one of them did something bad, but it's like a case of clue. We don't know who it was. So in this case, for some reason, he's going to consider that b'seiser. So we don't know exactly who it is. We don't know exactly which role model we're not looking up to in this point, but we know somebody did something wrong. So again, it doesn't really fully help us, but that's another possibility. Look at number three. So bullet point three, Medr Shmuel Kasa B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah, Shechilu Shem Shamayim B'Seisar Anisker Kan, Hu She'oved Avodah Zara, Shechilu She'eno Modeh Be'lo Kosao, O Nishba L'Sheker, She'nemar V'lo Sishbu B'Shmi L'Sheker, V'Chalalta V'Gomer. So the Rabbeinu Yonah here has an explanation that does answer the question. And he says that you could have, is our third category of Chil Hashem. Remember, Tiferes Yisrael said we have two categories. Category number one is you do it in public. Category number two is that you do it lahachas. Here we said public doesn't work because it says b'seiser. Lahachas doesn't work because it says you do it on purpose. By accident. The shogeg. So what's our third? He's introducing a third category of Chil Hashem. There are some averos that definitionally are considered Chil Hashem. That no matter if you do it in public or private, or you do it lahachas or not lahachas, it's still considered a chilul Hashem. What are these type of averos? So he gives us two examples. Number one is Avodah Zarah. So when you do Avodah Zarah, regardless of how many people are there, or regardless to some extent of your intentions, it can still be considered a Chilul Hashem. And in addition, if you, what's the second one? If you Nishbala Sheker, you take an oath falsely, you lie under oath, using God's name, that's a Chilul Hashem definitionally. Again, whether in private, you know, how are you going to, I guess you could Nishbala Sheker between you and nobody else. Yeah?
Why would you do it in private?
I don't know.
Very easily.
Yeah.
You
stubbed your toe.
something
happened to you and you made a vow and you lied. You could figure out a scenario. Okay, so that's possibility number three. And then our Mishnah, then that's what our Mishnah would be talking about, would be a case where it's a very limited Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah talking about Chilul Hashem in private when you do these two averos, and that's a really bad thing to do. It's a very limited message of the Mishnah if that's what we're talking about. Bullet point number four. The Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, Demasnisin B'Talmud Chacham Ha'over B'Seser, Shem Avar B'Galui Ha'ulam D'Mimenu V'Yachil Hashem. It's another way around it. We're talking about a private act, but it's a private act that if it would have been done in public, would be considered a Chilul Hashem. Right? So the Mishnah is saying that if you do a Chilul Hashem, what do I mean Chilul Hashem? It's not a real Chilul Hashem because nobody's seeing it. But if it was, if that act was done in public, that would be considered a Chilul Hashem. You don't like it, Barbara. Internally without acting on it? That's a little bit of a stretch. So this is a stretch too, and if you look in the sub-bullet point here, the Tosfos Yom Tov commenting on this idea that you're doing an Avera in private, that if you would have done it in public, would be considered a Chilul Hashem, writes, Uve'enai hu dochek gadol. It's a very far-fetched. At the end of the day, you did it in private. There is no Chilul Hashem. Right? The Mishnah is talking about Chilul Hashem. And you're constructing it that the case is you did it in private. So then there's no Chilul Hashem. That's not considered a Chilul Hashem. Right? Yeah.
I wasn't here last week, so maybe you discussed this. But I thought that there was another category of Chilul Hashem, which is that when you do it in private, you're really showing that you don't care about what the public thinks. You only care about the public things. You don't care what a Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks. You don't care what God thinks.
So that's Lahafas.
But that Lahafas, even if you not think of it that way, I mean, it's not Lahafas. So, you're doing it because you just want to do something. You're not doing it to be Lahafas. But if you were public, you probably wouldn't have done it. So therefore, it's still a Chilul Hashem when you do it.
Right, but then that's so that you're creating a new category which we haven't seen yet. Maybe we'll see it at the end of that. It's not lahakis, right? But it's that you would be more careful if you were in public. So I don't know if that would be considered a Chilul Hashem. Right? So meaning I wouldn't do that's probably most of our averos are that way, right? Like if everybody was here watching me, I wouldn't do this right now. Right, so I don't know if that I would categorize that as Chilul Hashem. We'll see by the end. Maybe we'll get to something along. I think where you're trying to go, but not yet. Yeah. Right. If there are concepts. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says if you know Halavai, if everybody would see when we do what we do, then we wouldn't sin. But I don't consider that as of yet category of Chilul Hashem. One more, and then we'll keep going. If for what? In what case?
If you're doing Shas and Vaseter, and they say if you would have done it, the Galui, you know, it would have been the same way, the same punishment.
No, that then you can't, and then it would be Shogeg. Meaning you can't. If I'm making you aware of what you're doing, then you're not Shogeg anymore, right? If you know what you're doing, you're not Shogeg. So I would say there is. If nobody's watching me and I'm by myself and I don't know what I'm doing. That how can that be considered a Chilul Hashem? It's a little bit far fetched. So we'll elaborate on. We're going to create new categories as we go along. But you're actually trying to change the lahakis aspect. We're focusing now on changing the seser aspect. So we'll get this. Let's see. Now, so the Tosfos Yom Tov again just said that he doesn't like the answer of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that if I do it in private, but if I would have done it in public, it would be considered a chilul Hashem, then that's considered a chilul Hashem, because at the end of the day, doing it in private, that can't be considered a chilul Hashem. So the final bullet point in source number 5 is the Tosfos Yom Tov's own answer. V'lachin nirali, devadai kol she'asa b'seiser, ein kan chilul Hashem. If it's done in private, you can't call it a chilul Hashem. V'tanik tani emachalol shem shamayim. So it says you're mechalal shem shamayim, and that means that it has to be done. You can't get it away from it by saying that you did it in that private's considered a chilul Hashem. So therefore, the question returns. Vim tomar heichim mishkachas al chilul Hashem b'seiser. What's our case then? What's a chilul Hashem in private? So nearly the mishkachas la ba'avera shi efshar ki'im behitstarif zulasa. It's talking about an interpersonal avera. So it is a sin that is done with another being. Kigon, kol ha'arayos v'kiyotze be'elu, any sexual immorality. Sha'ishahi o anusa v'af mefuta v'meshim mitratzes. So depending on you know, her, if it's a man and a woman committing some illicit sexual relationship, depending on her level of willingness or wantingness, either way, no matter what it is, there's two people there. Right? It takes two to tangle. Hu miknei shedana ba'atzma shein iser ho v'hu rotze v'yesh chilul Hashem. So if this man does something, convinces her to do something inappropriate, so the chilul Hashem is... She is now looking at this as a chilul Hashem, right? What this guy did was a chilul Hashem. V'yesh chilul Hashem ve'ein achanami ha'ochel iser b'kei agad b'yechidus ve'ein ro'a lo'a v'chilul Hashem klal. But if it says 100% true, if this was just a between man and God sin, there would be no chilul Hashem. So if I'm eating a cheeseburger and nobody sees it, that can't be considered a chilul Hashem. Here, we're creating a new scenario of chilul Hashem, b'seiser, meaning it's sort of like the first bullet point of the Maharal, where he says that, you know, it means not totally public, but, you know, a little bit public. So here, it's b'seiser, it's a little bit more... You can understand a little bit more than that first explanation, because it's still b'seiser, and it's behind closed doors. There just happens to be one other person there. So because of that, it's considered a chilul Hashem, because there's somebody learning how bad of a person you are, and you're representing God, and that can be considered a chilul Hashem.
It's not b'seiser anymore.
Right. So you can always come back to that and say, but at the end of the day, that's not considered b'seiser. That's not considered, private, because there's somebody else there. But I hear it's not as hard as the other one. The other one is that it's done in a smaller setting. Here it is, meaning you could call it behind closed doors. Like, it's happening behind closed doors. It's b'seiser.
Why don't they go in Chilul Shabbat? If I smoke in my room, I'm in Chalem Hashem. That's Shabbat Shelo.
Well, that's a similar answer to the Rabbeinu Yonah's answer, that there's certain averos that even if I do in private are considered chilul Hashem, even if it's not l'achis. The two examples he gave are avodah zarah and mishpal hasheker. So you want to say maybe chil Shabbos should get thrown in there too. That's fine. Again, I don't know what criteria. It could be those examples are considered chil, meaning the words chil Hashem are used in those examples. So maybe Shabbos wouldn't. You'd have to go through to see if Shabbos is definitionally considered chil Hashem. But your answer is the same category of that answer. So either way, we have, according to Tosfos Yom Tov, a bunch of different ways of getting around this. Maybe at the end of the day, you read all these answers and you don't feel fully satisfied that how can you consider it at the end of the day, if it's seiser, nobody's learning from it. So you might, there's ways around it, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to accept one of them to try to understand what the Mishnah is saying. But we do have categories of chilul Hashem that can be done. The seiser, maybe, it sounds like Rabbi Shiloni likes the nishbal hashaker and Avodah Zarah answer, that there are certain averos that even if you do between you and yourself that are considered Avodah Zarah, chil Hashem. Tosfos Yonta doesn't like that, because then he doesn't think that that's considered chil Hashem unless it's done in public. All right, again, there's no... when you have 5 or 6 different answers to a question, what does that mean? none of them are that great, right? So you got to pick the one you like the most or the least and go with it. So now, until this point, we have established ways of explaining b'seiser, whether satisfactorily or not, you could decide. But now what we want to try to understand is this second part of the Mishnah. The second part, and it's going to be connected to our understanding of the first part of the Mishnah, but we're going to separate it just conceptually for a moment, is that what does it mean to be echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem? What does it mean that whether I do it intentionally or unintentionally, the same applies for chil Hashem? What are we talking about? It's the same for what? What are our options? Are we saying it's the same result? What do you mean by same result?
Whether you did it by accident or on purpose, what other people saw, they don't know if you're doing it accident or on purpose. They still see that you did what was wrong in the
okay. So meaning the effect that it has on the audience is the same. That's fine. Just keep in mind that you're stuck with the, if you want to get complicated, with the first half of the Mishnah, which as we're talking about in private. But I'll allow it because, again, we're going to get, if you try to fit all these things together, you're going to, your head's going to spin. But on its own, the idea could be nice that when it comes to the consequences of the reality of Chil Hashem, nobody cares if they're watching you. They don't care if you do it on purpose, if you do it by accident. They're watching you. They're judging you. They're under, and God's name is Mechala, whether or not you intentionally did it or not. Put aside the fact that it doesn't fit in with the first half of the Mishnah. What are our other options for what this means? That Chil Hashem is the same, whether or not you do it shogeg or mezid. Not just in terms of the consequences to the audience. What's another option?
The punishment that you yourself receive.
Okay, the punishment that you receive will be the same. So instead of the results, the punishment's going to be the same. Okay, what's the problem with that? Why is it a problem to say that the punishment's going to be the same whether or not you do it shogeg or mezid? That's not fair, right? I did it by accident, and you're going to give me the same punishment I do it on purpose, right? That's not fair. I did it by accident. Yeah.
you thought you were doing a pesaser, truly pesaser, but in fact you were observed. So the act wasn't unwitting. The act was witting, but the fact that somebody saw it was unwitting.
So you're creating a whole new situation. You're saying that you thought you did it, the action was done in private, the thought was that you were doing it in private. It happened to be that somebody was recording on their phone.
That's a call.
I don't know. I don't know if you can fit that in here, but maybe. Yeah, Barry?
So two things. Maybe what's missed, there's a concept of shesh that's supposed to be supposed to constantly, I'm not sure how that works, we're supposed to constantly have these ideas in mind so that whether it's the Caesar or not, we may have violated that in some way. So that would minimize the difference between shogeg and mezid. And then a secondary point is that regarding Ari Mitzvah, I just discovered there's a category of shogeg tarav l'mezid. And I'm not sure how to interpret that. It sounds like recklessness or carelessness where we should have been more mindful of what we're doing. And that starts to tap into the shesh. So I don't know if factor that into this.
Right. So the six constant mitzvos, I think this is going to take time to fit it in here conceptually. So let's put that aside for a second. But I think regardless of that, whether that fits or not, your second point is good. I mean, there might be more categories here that we might not be fully explaining. What does it mean unintentionally versus intentionally? Am I aware of my actions? Am I aware of what I'm doing? Do I know this is a problem? Do I not know this is a problem? Am I just, you know, flopping around and doing something? And then so you're right. We aren't fully explaining that yet. There are other categories here, but we're not going to yet. We'll see it. We'll see some sources that might. One second, Barbara.
I wasn't sure about mitzvah versus mezid. Mm-hmm. Mezid means something that you do public.
Yeah.
Who's punishing them?
Presumably God.
So does that have to do with the last part also, that if he does something, the shogeg or the seser, he's still getting a punishment in the wood?
Excellent. Okay, so that's a third possibility here. So that's a third possibility here. You have stated the Rambam, right? So this is what the Rambam says. If you look in, we skipped it. Look at source number 4. And so far we've had two options. This is going to be the third. What are our two options so far? One is that the punishment is the same in terms of severity. Whether you did it by intentionally or unintentionally, your punishment is the same. We just said that's not really fair because I did it by accident or unintentionally. Why are you telling me? It's the same. The other option was, somebody said it, that the result in terms of the effect of on the audience will be the same. Meaning they don't care if you did it. They don't know if you did it b'shogeg or mazid, so it's going to create the chil Hashem regardless. Here's option number three. Source number four. V'amlam kavanoso kan shechil Hashem bein shahaya b'mezid or b'shogeg begalui nifraim yimenu alav. The similarity between shogeg and mazid here is that it's just going to be, you're going to be punished in public. That's the similarity. The extent of the punishment is going to be different because, again, you did it by accident. I'm not going to punish you the same as you did it on purpose. I will punish you, however, in public. Now, that still has to be understood because I did it by accident in private, and now you're making this into front page news, right? You're making this into a bigger deal than it was. Maybe not. Maybe that's what we have to understand here, of that there's a pub. We have to understand why is it that we're going to make this, that God makes this punishment public. Even though, again, the consequences for your are not the same. You are still shogeg. You're not getting the same as somebody who's mazid. Mazid would be more extreme. You're getting less punished, but it's still going to be a public punishment. So that's the similarity. So that's what you're saying, Barbara. The similarity is that it's bigalui. The punishment, whether you do it b'shogeg or mezid, is bigalui, is out in the open.
What is all punishment for?
So that depends. That depends perhaps on what you did. But there's going to be some level of punishment. We're going to see a little bit more elaborate on that in a second. But I think it might depend on what you did and how it comes out. Because right now, hold up. We still need a few more pieces of information before we get to that. Yeah.
The whole idea of punishment is the idea that it's very public. We see it from the story of Cain and Hevel that Hashem didn't punish them right away because he was waiting for society, there should be more people. Who's going to see it? Hashem was going to punish him, his mother and his father. That's it. So he waited till there was a society, the whole, because that's the concept. It says in the bottom, the concept of punishment in general is so that Leman Yishmael the Yiro. So it doesn't matter. You did it in the same way. You did the Mesid. You did it with the
idea. I would say yes and no. So there is a concept of punishment that has to do with other people seeing and learning. But I don't think you can say that's the only type of punishment. You have punishment. Meaning, what you're saying is that this is how punishment works in general. And I would argue to you, if that was the case, then there's no chiddush here by Chilul Hashem. Right? What we're saying by Chilul Hashem is that by Chilul Hashem, we're going to punish you publicly.
Because maybe you would think that it's not really such a tangible thing, let's put it this way. You know, the whole idea of Chilul Hashem is a
It sounds more like the chiddush here is that it's going to be in public, because usually it's not. That's what I would say. And I think that's true. I think it's too oversimplified. It's oversimplified to say that at all points in time, that's how punishment always works. It might be that that's one big type of punishment. Most of the time maybe, but not. I don't think you can say it for all the time, because sometimes we do get punished in private. And I think the chiddush here is that this is a public punishment for a reason. We'll have to understand what is it about Chilul Hashem that the punishment has to be in public, even if you do it b'shogeg. Okay, so let's hold on. Let's keep going. We need a few more pieces of information before we continue analyzing. Let's see source number six, Rashi. So Rashi is going to go in a slightly different direction here. He says as follows: Kol hamachal shem shemayim b'seiser, sheover avera b'seiser nifraim yimenu begalui, hakadosh baruch hu megala lechol cherpasim. So this answers some of your questions. Who's the one who's punishing? It's God, right? So even though you did the sin in private, it's going to be taken from you. The repercussions are going to be public. God is going to reveal the sin and the embarrassment. V'kol kach lama. Why are we being so harsh and severe when it comes to this? Again, I did it, let's say, b'shogeg in private, and now you're making it into a bigger deal. Why are you making it into such a big deal? So, shelo yischalo shem shamayim al yado. Because there's a problem here. Something bad can come about. if I do something in private, so let's say my punishment comes about, so what's going to happen? People are going to see my punishment. So the question here is what's going to come out publicly? Is what I did going to come out publicly, or is the punishment going to come out publicly? Very good. Okay, the Yaivitz makes that connection here. But here's the question. Again, what I want us to think about to fully understand Rashi, are we talking about, until this point, we've been under the assumption that what's happening in public, the punishment's happening in public. So why do I know that? So the punishment happened in public. So okay. So what is that? How do you know what I did? You don't know what I did. I just got. You know, I broke my leg. So that's my punishment, right? So now what? What are people learning? What are people seeing, right? So again, read Rashi again. V'kol kach lama shelo yischalo shem shamayim al yado shelo yomru reisem ploni shu chacham ba'asa meisim tovim upagu bot saros kol kach v'kach. What's going to happen is that the punishment is going to be in public no matter what, in the sense of people are going to see you're getting punished, like Eov, like whoever, like you're going to suffer. So your friends are going to see that you're suffering, and now they're going to say, why is this guy suffering? This guy's such a tzaddik. Why is he suffering? So what's the answer? So what's going to come out in public now? God has to save himself here. God has to maneuver around that chilul Hashem. That's another chilul Hashem that could happen. Because again, you're doing something in private nobody knows about. You're going to get punished, so you're going to suffer. Everybody's going to see your suffering, and everybody's going to say, God's not just. God's not fair. He's punishing this poor guy who doesn't do anything wrong. So now God has to defend himself. So what happens? Finish Rashi. So what happens? Lefichach echad oseh b'shogeg ve'echad oseh b'mezid b'chil Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu megala hakol. What becomes revealed? Not the punishment. The punishment, everybody's going to see the punishment. The fact that you did it is going to become revealed. That's the nifraim imenu b'galui. It's not that you're punished. It's that everybody's going to know what you did. Why is everybody going to know what you did? God's going to make it that way, so people aren't going to look and say, look at that guy who's suffering for no reason. He's such a tzaddik. Not such a tzaddik? Look what he did in private. Look at it. You don't even know what he did. Jackie's raising her hand very nicely. Jackie.
They can do it again?
Is this something that's like going to happen in the world to come or something? Because obviously, like,
excellent. So this gets into big. This Rashi opens up a whole can of worms, right? So this Rashi now all of a sudden says, how do we understand punishment? How are we supposed to be looking at other people? Isn't there such a thing as Sadik Guralo and Rasha Betovlo? We don't fully understand how all this works. So how can it be that, you know, what's going on here? So the answer is, I have no idea, right? But in theory, what Rashi's saying is true. In practice, how it comes out, I don't know. When I see somebody suffering, I make it my job to tell myself I have no idea why they're suffering, and I don't blame them for suffering, and that's that. There is, and we've spent shiurim on this, so you got to go back to the archives. There are specific. I remember there was, I think the nobody liked that shiur where we spoke about divine punishment. And the message of the Mishnah was sort of like what Rashi is saying here, is that it's sort of this like easy boxes of, you know, you do this happens to you, and we don't really see the world that way. We really don't get divine punishment in the same clarity that Rashi's presenting it here. So I don't have a full answer to you. I think the answer is we don't really know. We're just learning Rashi, and maybe he knew a little better than we did. Yeah. That I don't think that's true. that can't be true. You could get rewarded or punished in this world. You could get rewarded or punished in the next world. We don't know how exactly it works and whether things could get pushed off to the next world. So therefore, since we don't understand it, it's not in our, the way I understand it, it's not in our business to start figuring that out and judging ourselves or other people That right. If you know you did something wrong, you do tshuva for it. That's your responsibility. Okay, so let's I don't want to get into that whole discussion right now. I think we covered the main points. That's not really what the point of the mission is, but Rashi's comment does open that confusing box. Then he gets one more explanation here at the end of source number 6. Nusach Acher, Kadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Mimenu Begaloi, She'oselo Dabar She'modia Lakol, She'uvar Aleo Megalo Cherpaso Barabim, that God does something that makes it clear that he did something wrong. So somehow it just gets revealed, you know, the text message gets public, or they find whatever you did, and then it gets on the front page. So according to Rashi, it's another way around the discussion, but it doesn't fully fit with everything, because it creates some level of problems as well. It doesn't solve all of our issues. Question or keep going? Yeah.
So I kind of agree with Wolfenstein that it's showing that basically whatever you do in private is going to end up being that it's going to become public, and that people seem to care more about what people say than what Hashem says, and that's the ether that.
Right. That, well, here it's.
Because if you're doing it in private, you're saying, oh, but if people know about it, I'm going to be really upset. But here they're saying, you know, you really should care what Hashem
does. So that fits if you're talking about Mesa. If you're talking about Shogeg, it gets a little bit more complicated. Which is why we might just separate these two parts of the Mishnahs and say, you know, first part of the Mishnah is talking about Seser, and then the second part is talking about Shogeg and Mezid. It might make it a little simpler, but once you start putting them all together, it complicates things. So that point about people doing it, if I have the intention, I'm doing it in private so nobody finds out, then God's going to make it public. That all works out if you're assuming I'm doing it on purpose in private in order that people don't see. But if I do it by...
You're less careful.
Okay, so less careful. Let's.
So.
Okay, good. So we'll get to less careful soon. Let's see. Somebody give me the time, please.
Okay.
We're not doing 3 weeks on this, so this is. We're gonna have to figure it all out. It's all gonna happen today. All right. So let's see source number 7. The Tiferes Yisrael. So we saw some of this last week, but this is the second part of it. He's the same source as source number 3. This is just a continuation. He's the one who said there's two types of Chilul Hashem. You have Chilul Hashem that's done in public, and then you have Chilul Hashem that's Lahakas. And he says, our Mishnah is talking about Lahakas. So now let's deal with how he understands this. So the Chiyai Gavna, in terms of the Lahakas, you're doing it to anger God. Ma'iritana Hachal. That's what we're talking about here. Da'ayinu Shebe Emes, Ein Pachad Elokim Neged Ein Av. You don't really have fear of God. Like these heretics who violate sins even in private, and they don't even care about it. It's not like they're getting any benefit from it. They just don't care. And that's the problem. They deny that God exists. They deny that Torah is from heaven. They don't think that God cares about the world, or they don't think that there's reward and punishment. So all these things influence their decision making to the point where they couldn't care less, and therefore, whether in private, public, they just don't care. That's lahakas. They're not doing it in public. Why not? So here's an interesting, we're creating a new persona. So you last week, somebody over here asked, maybe it was Karen, that, well, these people don't care. So what do they care? They're going to read the Mishnah, they don't care. So no, they do care. They don't care about God, so they don't care in private, they do whatever they want. But they do care about public. It's a fascinating personality here. They don't care about anything that God says or does. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in reward or punishment. They don't believe in Torah. They don't believe in anything. But they want everybody else to think they're a tzaddik. So in private, they do whatever they want. In public, they're the top. They're on top of the world. They're the role models. V'lachin lo dami l'shar chote b'seiser kishet takfaso yitzro. We're not talking about somebody who sins in private because they're weak. They sinned. The Yetzer Hara overcame them. That guy cares about God, right? Just the Yetzer Hara overtook him. It's not good, but it's not doing this to spite God. So he cares about God. So God cares about him. God has mercy on him. He's not going to punish him to the point where it's going to become revealed to all that this guy has sinned. This guy, He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about Torah. He's showing his stuff like the pig who shows off their split hooves, but inside they're they don't chew their cud. This person is going to be publicly punished. So everybody knows that inside and outside this guy is Russia, because she is Galgal Nivlasa Leinei Hashemesh, because it's all going to become revealed. So now, if this is the Mishnah, so that the way Teresa understands the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is simple. Again, the idea is simple. Whether or not this fits into the words, you can argue about. But the idea is simple. You think you're going to be able to pretend. You think that everybody's going to look at you and you're going to be a tzaddik in their eyes, but inside you're a kofer b'Hashem. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. God's going to make it clear to everybody that you're a fake. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, next year, in 5 years, in 10 years, I don't know. Whether it happens in the next world, it's a little more complicated, because then that doesn't seem to do anything for the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah's trying to say that you're going to be caught in this world. So I would say there's a this world Mishnah. At some point in time, you are going to be revealed in this world. Right? And we see it all the time. We see people who, for 15, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe they're on top of the world, and then eventually everything comes out. So that, according to Tiferes Tzvi, is what the Mishnah is talking about. The problem, according to the Tiferes Tzvi, is what? How does our Mishnah, what's the problem? It gets back to one of our original problems. It could be what the Mishnah is saying, especially in the beginning. The Mechal Shem Shemayim B'Seis and Ephraim Imena B'Galui, that fits. Okay. It's the Shogeg. It's always going to come back to the Shogeg. What does it mean that I'm Shogeg Lahachas? Again, this guy doesn't care, but he's Shogeg. So what does that mean, he's Shogeg? So now, somebody alluded to this answer. Right, so one way around this, as might be what you're saying, and I'm not sure if it's in one of the sources, but somebody says it, is that if this is the way we're putting up his persona, is that so when he's at home, right, and he's eating his whatever he's eating, and he's doing whatever he's doing, he doesn't care this way or that way or whatever. So there will be some things that he's doing that are shogeg. Right? Not everything this guy does is lahachas. Right? Not every single time he does any actions is sort of to anger God. Sometimes he just, I don't care, whatever, I'm not paying attention. So even that shogeg for the guy who's lahathis is gonna work against him. So once you say, I don't care about you, God, anything you do, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally, is not going to work against you. For somebody who cares about God, so then God's nice to you. He says, you do it intentionally, okay. You're going to get punished, but I'll still have mercy on you. You do it by accident, I'll have even more mercy on you. But for you who doesn't care at all, I don't care if you do it shogeg, I don't care if you do it mazid, then you're going to get punished for it no matter what. So once you're lahachis, all bets are off. I don't care what your intentions are for every single action. It's all going to work against you. So that's one way. If you read it that way, then the Mishnah, according to this understanding, fits. That mechal al shem shamayim, B'seser is talking about somebody who's lahachis, because that's a chil Hashem, like we said. You can be chil Hashem in private if you're lahachis. That works. God's going to punish you in public because he wants to show that you're two-faced. And it can be considered shogeg, because once you're lahachis, we don't care that much if you do it shogeg or mazid. It's all going to work against you. God's going to punish you for all of that. So according to this understanding, the Mishnah fits. This box fits with this understanding of the Mishnah. Keep in mind, things are never so simple, because there's only one understanding. Everybody else understands it differently. But within this understanding, we do have a full understanding of the Mishnah. Yeah, Freddie.
Yeah, I come from the standpoint of someone doing something in private, and he's saying, well, he won't do it in public because he's afraid of what people are going to say. So I can interpret that someone who is, let's say, a heretic, won't do it in public because he in deference to the public that does believe. For instance, when I was a kid, I met a Holocaust survivor who was a neighbor, and she wouldn't do, for instance, put the clothes on the line on Yom Kippur, because not because she was afraid of God, she didn't felt that God wasn't there during the Holocaust, I'm going to believe it. But you wouldn't do it because at a deference for
We're going to sidestep the Holocaust theology about this for a moment. But in terms of what you're saying, can you have somebody who doesn't care in private, but in public is doing it not because they want honor, just because they don't want to offend anybody? That might be a different category. So I don't know if following this, you might say that person's in a different category. It's not, again, putting aside, again, the Holocaust part of the discussion. Restate that without the Holocaust thing, right? So you have somebody who doesn't care about God, but they don't want to do something in public because they don't want to offend people. So is that the same as that I want to show everybody how great I am? So maybe not, but the question is, does that matter? Right? So does that matter? Meaning, is the important part, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, that we want to show everybody that you're two-faced, or is the important part that you're being Mechal Hashem? So you could read it the way we were reading it, is that it is about being two-faced, and it's about showing that you're fake. Would God go out of his way to show that you're fake if the reason you're doing it is to show deference to other people? I don't know. I don't know exactly, but it's a good question.
I just want to say it's very dangerous. Because if you see somebody get into an accident or something, you can say, oh, he probably did something bad. Probably did something, which is really dangerous.
Okay, so good. So back up. That's not the whole thing about this Mishnah. That was Rashi's point of the Mishnah. And as we said, it's a dangerous point, and we don't fully understand. That's not how we look at the world, right? There are statements in Chazal that make things into clear boxes, and that if you do something wrong, you're going to get punished. And if somebody did something wrong, it meant that they did something wrong and that they're getting punished for it. The way that I would argue to you that we should look at the world, based on religious sources as well, is that if you do something wrong and you did something wrong and you get some sort of you get suffering because of it, you take the suffering as a guide to try to correct yourself. If somebody else, not that it's a direct one-to-one correlation, but that's I think a pretty healthy outlook. If something bad's happening to me, let me yafashmash b'masav, let me reflect and try to do better and introspect, because chances are there is something I can improve on. If somebody something bad happens to somebody else, it's not our job to start judging people. It's our job to help people if they need help. That's it. That's how I look at it. So you're right. There are some things that need broader theological explanations here, but let's sidestep that for now. Chaim, and then we'll do one last thing. Yeah.
You know, this whole thing about trying to get into God's mindset to figure out how exactly he works punishments to fit the crime, and then for us, as you mentioned before, which is very accurate, we begin this starts a whole Lashon Hara snowball effect. Oh wow, this guy has a broken thing. Oh, he must have done
so don't start the snowball effect.
What I'm saying is the whole idea of analyzing Hashem's punishment. And so we understand the person gets Misa B'day Shemayim or Misa B'day Adam. That's clear from what we learned in the Torah. Okay, for those things. But you can't kind of backtrack and go, oh, this guy stubbed his foot, this guy broke his finger, therefore it's mashal from that he must have done X, Y, and Z, because once you start on that road, and the dumbest soul.
Asked and answered.
Okay.
Objection.
Still bothered.
Good. Be bothered by this. We don't fully get it. We don't fully understand it in terms of how God's system of reward and punishment works. Fine. Let's finish off with one source. If you wanted to, again, if you want to get really complicated, which we're not going to do now for the sake of time and for the sake of my brain, if you go through sources 8 as well as there's two source 8s. So the first source 8, if you go through that as well as the bottom of the second half of the page, which is a photocopied part, if you go through the Pirkei Moshe, and that's the Reben Shoshan, if you go through both of those, you'll see a back and forth detailed analysis of how this all these conceptions fit into the Mishnah, and it gets very, if you think it was complicated until this point, it gets a lot more complicated. So we're going to sidestep that and finish off with a simple idea. So look at the second source, number 8. This is on the second side of the page where it says Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel. Okay? So Medrash Shmuel quotes the Reben Shoshan. This is the idea we'll end off with today. Kasa. Shekabanas Echad Shogeg Vechad Mezik. Lahashvo Shtei HaChalukos. Kimosha Seser. Vehagalui Shavin Hein Bechilu Hashem. Bein HaShogeg VeHaMezik. So he says the second part of the Mishnah, which says that Shogeg and Mezid are the same, is equating Shogeg and Mezid, just like we equated Galui and Seser in the first part of the Mishnah. So intentional, unintentional, that's the second part of the Mishnah, those are equated. And the first part of the Mishnah was private, public are equated. When it comes to Chilul Hashem, these are all equal. Now, Vitam, Mechalol Shem Shemayim B'Seser, Heyoso Shava LeGalui. Why is it that if I do a Chilul Hashem act in private, that is equated to doing it in public? They shouldn't be the same. One's in private, one's in public. So, Dome Lamasha Amr Zal. This is similar to what Chazal say. Ezu Kasha Haganav Ohalistin. Right? So, what's worse? Somebody who steals or somebody who robs? So I think Yossi is what you're referring to before. Right? So this is a famous concept in Bava Kama. If you steal, right? If you steal or you rob, what's worse? So, stealing's worse. Why is stealing's worse, Rabbi Shivoni? Because, you know, meaning if I rob somebody, then... right. But what's the explanation? Who's afraid of God and who's not afraid of God? So if I'm sneaking around, well, they're both not afraid of God. One's pretending that he's afraid of people. One's showing that he's more afraid of people than he is afraid of God. The guy who robs isn't afraid of God, he's not afraid of people. So it's again, in a practical solution, I'd rather somebody steal from me than rob from me. But in terms of their mindset, it's worse to have a mindset that I don't care about God, but I care about people, right? So if I steal, I'm sneaking around, right? God, I don't care. God knows what I'm doing. I just care that people know what I'm doing. If I rob, I don't care about anything, right? So it's worse to be in this conception, in terms of your relationship with God, a stealer rather than a robber. So why is that? V'shivu zeh asha v'kvod ha'makom l'chvod ha'brios v'zeh asa ayin shalmala ki'ilu eino roa. So the guy who steals is pretending that God doesn't see. Everybody else sees, but God doesn't see. That's bad. The guy who robs is doesn't care. V'chein ha'machal shem shamayim b'seser dome l'ganav. So same thing. Somebody who's mechalal shem shamayim in private is like the ganav. He's saying, if people saw me, I would care. If God sees me, I don't care. So that helps for private versus public. But what does that not help for? Shogeg v'mezid. So now, va'amna. Here's the kicker. Tam shivui ha-shogeg v'mezid. Why are these equal? Ki kol adam chayev lichtov aluach libo. Shiyesh melech moshel el hakol. V'sheroi liyare mipanav ulehizda'azeya. And so everybody should write on the walls of their heart, meaning you should be, Karen, things what you were talking about before. You should be constantly mindful that there is a God who is watching over us, and that we should always be trembling to a certain extent that he's watching us. Va'over al zeh, damo v'rosho. If you aren't mindful of this, then your blood is in your own hands, meaning that you're responsible for that. If you're not constantly aware that God is watching you, then you are totally responsible for that. V'lo yitachin sheyomer adam lemelech shachachti v'ikischa shachachti v'kalalticha. You can't tell a king, I'm sorry, I forgot, I slapped you, right? You know, I wasn't paying attention and I cursed you. It doesn't work. So what's he saying? He's saying that when it comes to Chilul Hashem is so severe that there is no category of shogeg. You can't shogeg of being unintentional. I didn't mean it. I wasn't paying attention. You're not mindful of your actions that they would cause a Chilul Hashem. That itself is a problem. There's no free pass here with Chilul Hashem. So there is, basically what we're saying is that when it comes to Chilul Hashem, that is, shogeg and mezid are the same, they're equatable. There is no category of shogeg with Chilul Hashem. You have to always be mindful and aware of your actions if they're going to be a Chilul Hashem. Now, define Chilul Hashem. Is it people are watching me? Is it Avodah Zarah? Is it, you know, go back to all your conceptualizations of what Chilul Hashem might be, but that's okay. However you define it, you always have to be careful. You have no excuse, I wasn't paying attention. You have no excuse, I'm sorry, I forgot. Right? So that's what it means that Shogeg and Mezer are the same Chilul Hashem. So how this all fits together, according to every single interpretation, every explanation, and both sides of the Mishnah, I'll leave on your own to work out. But for the most part, I would say, let's take out a few important takeaway messages. Right? So takeaway message number one, what would you say, of our Mishnah? Forget about all the details and the complicated nuances. How would you say takeaway number one of our Mishnah? What would that be? Okay, number one, Chilul Hashem, I would say, I'd start with that. Chilul Hashem is very, very, very important. However you define it, it's very something we should that we have to take very, very, very seriously. Number two, or as a consequence of that, you always have to be mindful of your actions, whether other people are going to learn from you or watch from you, or whether what you're doing definitionally is going to be considered a Chilul Hashem. You have to stay very far away from that. No excuses. I'm off. I'm not paying attention. Always has to be paying attention when it comes to Chilul Hashem. And if you don't, then there's going to be consequences. What are the consequences? I don't know. But there's going to be consequences. When do you get the consequences? I don't know. But there are going to be consequences. And then I would say, finally, a third big takeaway of this is the concept of the public versus the private. Is don't be two-faced. The things that you do in private, they'll come out eventually. Now, so when you say don't be two-faced, what are my two options? So that means I could always be bad, right? I'll be bad in public and I'll be bad in private, right? So presumably that's not the right move. But the move is to try to be authentic, to be able to have our actions reflect our personality and character both in private and in public. And the persona that we reflect to the outside should hopefully be the same that we reflect inside. And I'll add one last message, especially if you understand the whole mission is talking about that the Seser doesn't just mean between you and yourself, but it could also mean between you and your little private circle. This is really an important message about family, right? Because in family matters, oftentimes that's considered Seser, right? Seser, the things that happen in your home, for the most part, are Seser. Nobody's talking about them outside the home, right? Nobody's knowing what goes outside. It's all inside. And I think that there are other people watching, and there are other people doing things. So other people are watching you in terms of their, you know, whether it's kids or spouses or parents, but people are modeling your behavior. So what you do, especially as a parent, your kids are watching you. You're, as a grandparent, your grandkids are watching you. So your behavior is, you are a walking, Chilul Hashem possibility if you don't do the right thing, right? So but you always have to be mindful of that, no matter what you say. No matter what you say. That's I was with my son the other day, and I don't say not nice words, but I said we're playing a game on the phone, and these pop-up ads kept coming up. So I said I hate these stupid ads. So I said I usually don't talk like that, but it's just like, you know, it's a moment of weakness. And then right away, without flinching, he started saying, "Yeah, those stupid ads." I said, "No, don't listen to me here." But everybody's so that's number one in terms of the role model piece. But number two is that, and this is a deeper, sort of more serious piece, is that the things that happen at home, there can be really bad stuff that happens in your house. And if you think that nobody's watching and nobody cares and nobody knows about it, A, God's watching it. And I'm talking whether it's physical abuse, emotional abuse, any type of this stuff. You think like, nobody's watching. It's just my house. It's just Beseser. So A, the stuff hopefully will eventually come out. And B, that's just not the way to live. You don't live two-faced. You don't do things that are terrible, bad needles inside, and then outside, you know, pretend that everything's all shiny and bright. It's a really important message from our Mishnah, and hopefully we can all try to avoid Chilul Hashem as much as possible and be models of Kiddush Hashem for all of those around us. To be continued in 2 weeks.
So next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Tomorrow, right?
Next.